So far in Luke's gospel, Jesus has been in Galilee. That's where his ministry has been happening, around his hometown in that area. He's gone from town to town in Galilee, teaching, healing the sick, casting out demons. But then in Luke chapter 9, Jesus turns from Galilee towards Jerusalem. He looks south to begin moving toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem is like the heart of Israel. It's the heart of Israel. It's the center of power, and it's the source of Israel's identity and their mission, their purpose as a people. The temple is there where God dwells. And worship at the temple is like the heartbeat of Israel. Think of a heart that pumps blood in the body. Blood is drawn to the heart. People were drawn to Jerusalem to worship. And then, like a heart, the blood is pumped back into the body. The people go back to the land to live as God's people. So Jesus is moving to Jerusalem, to the heart of God's people. But this story in Luke 13 is more about Jesus than Jerusalem. It's more about Jesus' heart than anything else. And this story invites us to ask a question. What moves Jesus? What moves Jesus toward Jerusalem? What moves Jesus? Some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Leave this place, go. Go somewhere else because Herod wants to kill you." "Run, Jesus, hide. If you don't, you will be killed." Jesus has good reason to be afraid. When Jesus was growing up, his parents told him stories about when he was just a wee babe. And King Herod the Great sent soldiers to Bethlehem to kill all the baby boys 2 years and younger. And so Mary and Joseph had to run. They had to flee to Egypt as refugees to save their son, Jesus. Jesus has good reason to be afraid. Herod the Great's son is now in power 30 years later, Herod Antipas. And Herod has already killed Jesus' relative and friend, John the Baptist. And now Jesus hears, "Herod's out for you." Jesus has good reason to be afraid. Jesus should run and hide. That's the logical thing to do. But he doesn't. Jesus doesn't run. He refuses to let fear move him. So what moves Jesus? If Jesus won't run, maybe he'll fight. Maybe he'll fight back to rally his disciples, his followers, into an army. Let's march against our enemies. This is a real statue in Minnesota of Jesus. You know, it might seem silly to us to think of Jesus as a warrior going into battle with a sword. But that idea wasn't so silly to Jews at the time, because they were waiting for a Messiah. And they thought this Messiah, God's chosen Savior, would be like a new David, a new warrior king. David killed Goliath, and this new Messiah, this new David, would kill Israel's enemies. "Come on, Jesus, be a mighty warrior for us. We've seen your power. We know you can do miracles. You can defeat our enemies. Lead us. We'll follow you into battle." The prophet Isaiah says, "The Messiah will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth. By the breath of his lips, he will kill the wicked." The people are waiting for a warrior king to lead them. Jesus has been tempted to use power in the wrong way before. Maybe you remember Luke chapter 4, where the devil leads where the Spirit sends Jesus into the wilderness, and the devil takes Jesus to a high place. And he says, "Look, that all the kingdoms of the world, they can all be yours if you bow and worship me. You can have all the power, Jesus. But Jesus is not moved by power in that way. He refuses that temptation. It's not fear and it's not power that moves Jesus. So what moves Jesus? What moves him toward Jerusalem? Listen again to his lament. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and throw stones to kill those who were sent to you. Many times I have wanted to gather your people together. I've wanted to be like a hen who gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not let me. Can you hear what moves Jesus? It's love. It's the love of a mother. It's the love of a mother whose children have turned away and her heart is broken. It's love that's defined Jesus' ministry in Galilee. He's filled with compassion when he sees the crowds. It's love that moves Jesus from town to town to share the news, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. It's love that moves him. And love is moving him toward Jerusalem, toward the heart of God's people. And it's Jesus' heart that will break over the heart of God's people. Because the people refuse to listen. They've rejected the prophets before, and they will reject Jesus. And he knows it. One afternoon, a woman came to her pastor. She sat down in her office and wept. She wept because her daughter was once again on the streets. Her daughter had been in and out of prison. She was addicted to drugs, living in this person's house, living on the streets, in and out of prison. And her mother kept welcoming her home, come back. And she kept returning to the drugs, to the streets, to prison. When the mother stopped weeping, she said to her pastor, "No matter what happens, my daughter knows that I love her and that my arms are always open to her." The love of a mother whose heart is broken over her child who has turned away. And like a hen with open wings, Jesus walks toward Jerusalem with his open arms. Jesus doesn't run, doesn't turn his back, and he doesn't march into battle. He walks toward Jerusalem with open arms like a mother hen. That's a vulnerable place, exposed to the pain and violence of the world. Listen to these words from Hosea 11. I was reading this and I stopped Jana. I said, you have to listen to these words. This was a few weeks ago. I just came across them. Hosea 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more I called them, the further they went from me. They kept sacrificing to false gods and burned incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. You see God leading Ephraim, showing him how to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they didn't know that I healed them. I led them with bands of human kindness, with cords of love. I treated them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. Love moved Jesus, the love of a mother, the strong and relentless love of a mother. God has been a mother to his people Israel. But God's children continue to run. They rebel. They turn away. But God keeps moving with open arms, saying, come back. I want to gather you in. I want to save you from your sin. I want to cast out your fear. I want to beat your swords into plowshares. That's what Jesus has come to do. I heard a poem last year that has stuck with me, and I want to share part of it with you. It's called God Our Mother by Alison Woodard. Just think about how a mother teaches us something of God's love. To be a mother is to weep over the fighting and exclusions and wounds your children inflict on one another. To be a mother is to be vulnerable, to be misunderstood, railed against, blamed for the heartaches of the bewildered children who don't know where else to cast the angst they feel over their own existence in this perplexing universe. To be a mother is to suffer, to travail in the dark, stretched and torn, exposed in half-naked humiliation, subjected to indignities for the sake of new life. To be a mother is to say, "This is my body, broken for you," and in the next instant, in response to the created's primal hunger, "This is my body, take and eat." It's a profound image for God's love, God's self-giving love. Jesus wants to gather the people like a hen gathers her chicks. Are there any kids in this room who've started school yet? Who started school? Some of you will start soon. Okay, this is for you kids. You adults can just listen. So I want you to imagine your first day of school. You get off the bus or get off your bike, and you step into your school building, and you see all the kids. But you realize there's no teachers anywhere. It's just kids. What do you think would happen that first day of school? What do you think? It would be a little chaotic? That's pretty optimistic, Grace. I like that. Yeah. Maybe a lot chaotic. No teachers, all these kids. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine that. Pastor Mimi Dixon compares our world to a room full of children, and there's only one adult in the room. You know, we know what happens when there are kids together. I'm trying to imagine vacation Bible school with no supervision. Right? Screaming, running, stealing a toy. Right? Imagine each of us is a child in that room. And you can't see an adult anywhere. Some kid steals your favorite toy and runs away. So you steal someone else's, and they hit you, and you start crying, and you're hurting and scared and confused. But then you hear a voice. You hear a voice you recognize. It's the voice of your mom or your dad. They're the one adult in the room. And they've been looking for you. They're walking toward you with open arms, and you see the love in their eyes. And they say, "It's okay, come here. I'll hold you, I'll protect you. I'll kiss that bruise. I'll forgive you for hitting that kid or for stealing that toy." Friends, we're just a bunch of children in a world where there's only one adult. And you know that adult is the God of Jesus Christ. The bad news is that we have been those rebellious children. We have been cruel towards one another. And each of us bears the wounds of being hurt by someone we love or someone we trusted. And we've refused the open arms of God. Maybe because we're afraid or because we're angry. Or because we think we're strong enough on our own. We've even turned against God. We've been enemies of God. We've been like the people of Jerusalem who don't listen to God's words of judgment and mercy, who kill the prophets, who kill Jesus. Friends, I don't know what you're afraid of today or what is hurting you or what you want to fight against. A broken relationship, financial difficulty, the uncertainty of a new school year, an illness, your own or someone you love. Friends, we have good reasons to be afraid. We have good reasons to be hurting. We have good reasons to want to fight back. But I believe we have a greater reason to love, because God has shown his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God in Christ stepped into that room full of children amidst the chaos, amidst the swinging arms and the crying and the stealing and the spitting and the biting and the hitting. And Jesus walks toward us with open arms. And as he does, he's getting hit and spit on along the way. But he keeps moving toward us in love with open arms and saying, come back. Come back. I'll protect you. Friends, what will move us? What will move us in this world? Will it be our fear? Or will it be love? Will we open our arms in return to the God who moves toward us in love? Will we say, yes, Jesus, you can come into my empty house. You can come into my empty heart. Make your home here. Settle down. Do your healing work. Cast out those demons. Speak your word of life. Finish your death and resurrection work in me. Will we be moved by love, friends?
To the flooding in southern India. Sorry.